Welcome to Crossroads and Cauldrons. We are two witches with jobs, families, and busy lives just like you. We talk about weaving the web of community, practicing magic, and life in the Deep South. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Selena, and you're listening to Crossroads and Cauldrons podcast. We have a fantastic guest today, and she's been on my get her on the show list for months and months and months, and now she's here. So I'm very excited. We have guest Amy Blackthorne today. And if you don't know, Amy Blackthorne is the award-winning author of the best-selling Blackthorne Botanical series. So Blackthorne's Botanical Magic, this is the first book I've ever had of hers, and it's fantastic. She's also got Sacred Smoke, Blackthorne's Botanical Brews, which is great, Blackthorne's Protection Magic. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. That came out earlier this year and coming out soon, I think. By the time the show airs, it will have just come out. And that's Blackthorne's Botanical Wellness. So let's welcome to the show Amy Blackthorne, and I will let her speak for us. Hello, Amy.
Hi, how are you? I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to try to make sure this isn't the show that I just flirt with Amy the whole time, but
I mean, I'm here for it. I do, in fact, consent to the flirting.
Excellent. That's all I need. How are you doing today?
Oh my goodness. I'm fabulous. I just got home from West Virginia about 5 minutes ago. It was last night, but it feels like five minutes.
Same thing. How was it? Is it beautiful? The weather starting to turn?
It was beautiful. The weather hasn't turned yet. It was that one day that lives in the middle of the hot swamp and the chilly breeze. So we had thunder clouds and little bits of misty rain. And so it was enough rain to be picturesque without being miserable the whole time. It was gorgeous. So we were in this fabulous town called Sutton, West Virginia, who has a population of 834 people.
Nice.
And so Pagan Pride Day, I think, doubled their population. And we had, oh my goodness, it was so much fun. We were talking about the Protection Magic book, and I had this whole talk planned. And the minute I got up there, it just went out of my brain. And I just went, it was like I was possessed by the spirit of awesome. And it was amazing. I think there's some videos. I'm like trying to figure out how to get them online because it was not what I planned in the best way possible.
Isn't that the best?
Really is.
I'm kind of I have a Virgo moon, so I love by organizing things. So when I go to do a talk, like I have lots of like plans. And then once I open my mouth, anything could happen. Anything at all could happen. And it's nice when I can just go with it. Sometimes I'm just like panicked because my mouth is out of control. I have no control over it. So, you know, that happens. Sometimes it's not awesome. So I'm glad yours was awesome. Yay. That's exciting. Yeah, I live in a very small town myself. I think that's probably like twice the population of my town.
That's awesome.
So it's exciting. That's exciting. Yay. And we're starting to get, we're sort of living in that in between time. Mm-hmm. It feels less like you're inside a mouth and a little more like the mouth is open. So some of the steam is releasing, but oh gosh, the temperatures have dropped like a little bit. It's starting to get dry, so it's wonderful. I'm in Mississippi, so it's just
so you
a
get
sauna.
Your 8 glasses of water a day just by breathing.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's why we don't hydrate here. We don't have to. Osmosis. Actually, I'm out of coffee today, so I'm hydrating. My listeners will be like, "What is she drinking? This is water." Friends, water. Mm-hmm. You've got your water too. Excellent. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back because it's usually coffee, which will be happening as soon as the show's over. I've got to make some more. But anyway, so let's talk. You're new to the show. This is your first time with us.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I'm so glad you're here. So for our guests who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about your practice before we start getting into your specific books.
Absolutely. I was really lucky. I found my practice I swear it was still in utero, at the very young age of 11 years old. I found my sister's copy of Wicca Guide for a Solitary Practitioner by Scott Cunningham. And I never looked back. the minute I turned 18, I ran out and I joined the first coven I could find. Never do that.
Don't do that. Recommended.
Date around a bit. Meet some people. Enjoy some stuff. Enjoy some minutes in the community and figure out who has your best interest at heart. Because there's
no, it's hard to do at 18 in general.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I think we had the same experience because I too was a wee child. And Scott Cunningham was my introduction to this world. So yay, that's exciting. Keep going. I didn't mean to
cut you. No. It was great. So I spent 5 or so years there, and it was really amazing practice. I met a lot of people. I grew as a person. But I was in a horrific accident. Was told I'd never walk again. I was dead on the scene. It was bad news. And so I could not devote the time and energy to my practice within the coven structure. It was so pitiful. I'm 21 years old and I've got a laptop on a pile of pillows about neck level. And I'm poking out my lessons with a pencil in my mouth because both my arms are broken. Both my legs are broken. My pelvis is broken. My face, my neck, my shoulder, like everything is broken.
That's dedication.
Peck out my lessons with a pencil in my mouth. I did it, but it was very sad. And I couldn't devote the time and resources emotionally that I needed to be able to grow and train as a priestess while trying to not die.
And there's so many lessons in that process that are just right there.
Yes.
You know, like sink into the healing of what you're going through. But I guess if you're young and you're just learning, you don't necessarily know that.
Exactly. I was really lucky. I worked with, I started out in a Gardnerian group and I got my thirds through an Alexandrian group. And I really relished the experience that I had, but wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. It was a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
I spent my formative years just loving, wandering along behind the plants and trying to figure out what they're trying to tell us. And it worked out really well for my high school career because I went to a horticultural high school. You know, I went and got my individual training in horticulture. I went back as a student teacher. Like I got a lot of really great hands-on teaching experience and also could go off and do my own projects with different plants and recordings and what germinates and what doesn't germinate. And it was so rewarding instead of being stuck in, you know, a chemistry class that I would not have flourished in. I love chemistry, but not the math that goes with chemistry.
Same.
I was just really lucky to get to the point where my witchcraft and my horticultural studies could line up. And it was, especially in school, you're like, oh, I guess I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm doing this. But was able to experiment with plants and cross-pollinating these things and trying to come up with lists of different herbs for different deities and like make that one thing and actually get school credit for it.
You know, that's really, it's super interesting that you have the background of the science behind, you know, working with plants, because that tells us what their magic is. You know, if you know how they reproduce and you know sort of what they do and how they affect each other chemically, how they affect us chemically, what grows well with them, like they all tell this story of what their magic is. And a lot of people just sort of grab that correspondence list and it's you're missing the whole person of what that plant is when you do that.
What, writing botanical magic. I actually had that epiphany moment that said, holy crap, if you put this together and this together. So I wrote an entire class while writing a book on the magic of scientific names and what that tells you so that people can decode their own magical associations based on the plant's family, the other plants in that system, because you're going to find plants in the wild that are not going to be in your average witchcraft book. And this is going to tell you how to figure out where those pieces and points fit together in that puzzle piece of magic. Because, you know, you're not going to find lavendin in a magical book, but you're definitely going to find lavender. You know, okay, how does that go together? How does that piece together? And since you have botanical magic there in your hand, I'm going to tell you a secret.
Oh, Oh, I love secrets.
Open the back. The back. Okay. Where the index is.
Okay.
It says recipe index right on it.
Okay, okay. Let me get that. Oh, there's... Okay. All right.
So they're broken up by a material need. So banishing magic or blessing magic, emotional well-being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And instead of page numbers, I gave you the plant name. So if you're looking for the Count Your Blessings oil, you're going to find it in black pepper instead of page whatever the page number is.
Right.
What that does is it makes a ready-made substitution list for your magical recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ran out of clove oil, you know that you can substitute bay oil for the same emotional well-being needs that that plant was going to give you.
That's so helpful too, because I think one of the number one probably things that new students come to me with is, well, I don't have this, so obviously I can't do any magic at all. And it's just like, baby.
My love, my darling.
There are so many. They're like people, you know? There's not one person on the planet that can do that job. There's lots of people that have that skill.
Yes.
You know, among other skills. And some have like layers and layers of things that they're good for that can add layers of depth to your magic and your spell work too. So I love that this is out there. This is an excellent resource. If you don't have botanical magic on your shelf, put it on your shelf because you're going to use it all of the time. You're going to use it for a reference all the time, especially if you're just learning spellcraft or you're just learning working with plant allies. This is a great, great, great resource.
I highly recommend open it up and find one thing that you love. Like, oh, I'm nuts for orange. I love the smell of oranges. Learn all about orange. Mm-hmm. No one expects anyone to memorize a book this big. That's why we have books. You don't have to memorize it. You can go to the book and say, okay, what do I need today? Open up the book and it'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But learning to understand and form that relationship with orange, for example, is so much more fulfilling. You know, you go to a party and you say, oh, hey, my name's Amy. And you get, oh, my name's Charisse. We're fantastic. Lovely to meet you. You have fantastic hair. I love it. And you may remember Charisse's name when you run into her 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's got completely different hair, you might say, okay, I know this face. This is definitely somebody who is awesome and I want to hang out with her forever. What was her name? But by developing those relationships and coming back and you say orange has a bunch of different materials that come out of that plant and these are the associations and it's associated with the sun. Like those little details give us the ability to fulfill that relationship and renew those ties that we have with it. So come back to it. Come learn a little bit more rather than feeling like you have to know all of this already. There's so much pressure on new practitioners because there's so many people who've been doing it for a while. It's just that we started a little before you. It doesn't mean that we're any better or any worse. We're just started at a different point. Just give yourself some credit, give yourself some slack and enjoy the ride.
And give yourself space to learn.
Yes.
You know, like that's a beautiful place to be because the whole world of information is open before you and you don't have a lot of preconceived notions to unlearn.
Yes.
You know, so it's a beautiful place to be. I really like that you use like meeting someone at a party as an analogy because I often tell people, you know, spirits are people, plants are people, stones are people, everything's people. So treat them like you would people. So yeah, if you meet that plant, get the phone number, call them, say, I'm going to call you later, call them later, you know, build a relationship. And then when you need something, you say, okay, I know a guy who can do that, you know? And I know them well, they're going to give me the family discount, whatever it is.
My friends all joke that when they say, I know a guy, they mean me. 92% of the people on this planet mean me, because I know them all. So it's fabulous. When you make a cup of mint tea and you're composting those tea leaves, you know, those leaves no longer exist, but the spirit of peppermint endures. So it's not that you're just meeting, it's not that you're getting a bottle of essential oil and you're saying, okay, this smells spicy and warm and I can do this with it. You're building a relationship with the essence or the spirit of that plant. So you don't have to have, pardon my hiccups, you don't have to have mint in front of you every minute. You're building a relationship with that spirit as a spirit, not just the plant that grows in your front yard. And so you don't have to have a picture of mint or a jar of mint on your shelf, you don't have to spend any money. You're just developing a relationship with a friend just like you would anyone else.
Yeah, and you can do that even if you're not in proximity. You can develop that relationship. Absolutely. Even if you're not in proximity. Of course, you develop a much stronger bond if you are in proximity or if you grow and cultivate that plant, because you're nourishing that plant and it's nourishing you in its whatever its medicine happens to be. They're not all for nourishment, guys. like not physical nourishment, but yeah, so you have that reciprocal relationship with the plant, with all the things. I'm trying to stay on just plants today since you're here. But yes, so working through, working with plants, working with, sort of the spirits of nature as you're working through high school, as you're developing your horticultural practice along with your witchcraft practice, that sort of led you down this road of learning your witchcraft, learning where of course, you have so many skills. I don't want to say where your skills lie because that sounds so limiting. But really what excites you, because that's what you bring to all of the books that I've read that you've written are all related to plant allies in some sort of way.
It's so interesting to be able to grow and have that nourishment because there's so many things that I went and did. I mean, we joke that if I made a video resume, it would look like a Charlie's Angels montage because there's so many things that I've done and been a part of. It's beautiful to be given permission to be dedicated to something outside yourself. I was just really lucky. I went into executive protection I've been there for 15 years. And so, running, jumping, climbing trees, kicking in doors, like that's the cool, fun, viscular stuff that gets me excited. But there's also room for me to be the calm, nourishing person who talks to plants and makes friends with those allies that are growing in the yard. And I was really lucky to be able to blend those two worlds in protection magic. I was telling the story at Pagan Pride Day over the weekend. I had every full moon, give or take, I cleanse the area around the home and I beat the bounds and I pour offerings and make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be. And so one day I'm out there, I'm pouring my offerings, I'm singing to my people and doing my job. Just like you do. And I notice that along the back fence on the back side of the house, there's a stand of poke that just appeared practically overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know poke is poisonous. Mm-hmm. And so if it's poisonous, it's protecting itself. If it can protect itself, it can protect you. And it's
behind, you said it was behind your house?
Behind the house. Mm-hmm. So what's behind you that you need protection from? Yeah. And mm-hmm. so I start going through my day-to-day life and looking at what those pieces look like. And I notice I found out that I had a stalker. So poke was warning me of a very real physical danger, not just something magical and woo and, something concrete, measurable, and a real viable threat. And I honestly think if I had not gotten that warning from Poke, I would not be here today.
Wow.
Those relationships are life-saving.
They really are. They're vital. And I think the fact that you're out there, the fact that you're listening, the fact that you're present with your allies mm-hmm. in a physical way, you're out there, they know how to find you. You know what I mean? They know you're going to come walking around right here, every 3-4 weeks. It's incredible. The things that you see just pop up in your yard, even if you just have a small property, mm-hmm. like if you have a potted plant, sometimes you'll see stuff pop up in it, that are bringing you messages, Wow. I'm so glad that you received that message and took steps, because I'm very glad that you're still here. And stalkers can fuck all the way off.
All the way forever.
I have sort of one now, but they mostly just lurk. And they can also fuck all the way off.
Forever.
Bye. Anyway. interesting segue right into protection magic, because I love this book. It's kind of a short book, but it's really fantastic. And I think you touch on some things that a lot of protection magic, like you said, is focused on, you know, spiritual attack and sort of self attack and things too, which is talked about more and more these days. But your work is so practical. It's so like, it covers all the bases. Talk to me a little bit about protection magic.
I'm a double Virgo, so the list of things that makes the practical is always at the top.
I love it. I like magic that you can use every single day. Like, I'm a mom, I have kids, I have every single day needs. So, along with some woo needs, but let's hear it.
It's so great because my editor is the amazing Judica Isles, who wrote the Encyclopedia 5000 Spells and Mystic Saints and Sages and on and on. And so
she's fantastic. She was one of the first presenters I ever heard speak at a pagan conference, like my first pagan conference. I was so excited. Oh my gosh. And like Eva was there and Judica was there. And I was just like, I didn't realize at the time that I had hit the jackpot, but I did after listening.
So sorry, we've carry known on. Each other close to 15 years. So I was really lucky. I went to see her she was giving a lecture on the Witches of Yule. And so during the intermission, she comes over and she's like, why aren't you writing for us? I'm like, I don't know who us is. She had just gotten her job at Wiser. And so I sent her some proposals and we talked and I was really lovely. I was like super excited. But when I brought her the proposal for protection magic, it was all magic. It was all, you know, the realm of spirit, which I had become accustomed to. Mm-hmm. We've known each other so long. She said, okay, this is great. When she takes it to the pup board, which is the super secret meeting where they talk about, is this a thing or is this not a thing? It's not like she's not the person who decides we're going to make this into a book. She does the proposal. She does a book report.
There's an inner circle for that.
Yes. So she threw in that I'd been in executive protection for 15 years and then I had a black belt and I had competition shooter and then I had firearms instructor and self-defense instructor and on and on. I didn't put any of that in there because I'm so used to Security Amy and Amy Blackthorne being in separate boxes on separate planets. Mm-hmm. It never occurred to me to put them in the same proposal because
I get that. I get that.
Security is such a conservative field that it was like, I tried really hard to keep my woo stuff to myself.
Yeah.
Until yes. I was head of security for 2 high rises here in Wilmington, Delaware. And one of my officers, he reported to me, I kept myself so compartmentalized that he went looking to see like, what is she hiding? She's not hiding anything. Right. So I come in one day to work at 5 a.m. and he's going, so you're a witch, huh? What? Delaware.
Yes.
Delaware is small. Like small. Yeah. It's the second smallest state. There's less than 1 million people live in the state of Delaware. Mm. In the entire state. So my first thought is, who have you been talking to?
could be anybody. Is it a very conservative sort of state? Sometimes
Delaware's a blue state.
Look at you.
It's very interesting the way they do it because there's like old money Wilmington, and then there's the city attitudes of bigger places where people have been transplanted in. It's a very interesting dichotomy. So I wasn't worried about my safety so much at that point. I've had issues like, I had a guy run me off the road into oncoming traffic screaming, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live," because I had a witch's heel bumper sticker on my car.
Like, wow. I have heard that. I do live in Mississippi, so we get that occasionally, but it's been a minute. So that's good. It's been a minute. But, you know, 20 years ago,
I had my driveway spray painted. I had you know, my little witchy bumper stickers in the back of my car, but I came out one April morning to go to breakfast on a Sunday, and someone overnight had spray painted "witch, bitch, fuck you" on my driveway.
Wow, I bet Jesus loves that.
Yeah, super proud.
That's really spreading the word there.
So it had been an issue before, but it got to the point where I kept my witchy bumper stickers on magnets, and if I was going somewhere where I wouldn't be hassled, I'd keep them on. But if I was worried about it at all, I'd take the magnet off.
That's smart.
Magnets are, bless them, they're magic.
Bless magnets.
How do they work?
Okay. Witchcraft, obviously.
But those experiences made it so much more enriching to talk about protection magic as a whole practice, because it's not just okay, you know, waving a wand around my house, you know, every couple months to make sure that spirits aren't getting in. We have real concerns on a daily basis. So being able to relate those stories and the issues, how they come about and what they represent magically, but as well as mundanely or physically, was really well imagined. And I'm so thankful to Judica for remembering, like, oh yeah, you're a whole other person. Can we like pretend that that's a thing for 5 minutes? So I was thrilled to be able to put chapter 6 into practice. It's 13,000 words. That's a good chunk of the book. That's a couple chapters worth in one practice. And it's an escape innovation course that's taught by the government. And it's, you know, how to be aware of what you're going, things to carry on your person, how to escape rope, duct tape, zip ties, handcuffs, stalkers, someone's following you home from work, like what to do in the real world to protect yourself. And those are things that I've had to do and I've had to utilize. And it's not like I'm doing a book report on how to protect yourself. This is my actual life. I had a hard time to start writing the book. I sat on it and I gnashed my fingernails and I'm pulling my hair out. And I finally called Judica, who is a saint. I'm going to have her canonized when she leaves us. I said, I feel like a fraud. I feel like, you know, there's some issues happening. And she said, my love, what is the deal? What's happening? What's going on? And I said to her, I've had these experiences and they're terrifying and literally life-threatening examples of how people are awful to each other. And how can I talk about protection magic when I've had someone attempt to take my life from me? And she said, my love, but that's why we want you to do this. You did the thing. You came out the other side. You're still here. Mm-hmm. They did not succeed in removing me from this plane of existence. And that's why we want you here.
I commend their failure and your success in that.
Thank you. It's just the experience itself was very difficult. I mean, to the point where the other person involved went in front of a judge and admitted they had a plan to XYZ that would remove me from this planet. And like he was ordering a cup of coffee, like, oh yeah, goes down the list, admitted it to a judge. And I still was only able to get a year supervised visitation and probation. So he never did any jail time.
Wow.
It's ridiculous because his mommy has money and he wore a suit that day.
And our system is totally fucked up.
So broken. The fact that I'm able to go and do author events and go out and do things where I have to put out my calendar in advance and tell people where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
When you've had this happen. The whole story is at the end of chapter 6. It does come with a content warning. So, please be helpful with your own energy if you get to that point in the book. But it's so real that people expect that because we want the best for the other humans on our plane, that everyone feels the same way. And being out of the broom closet is dangerous. Never, ever let anyone tell you that your choices aren't your own. Not only do you deserve safety, but you deserve the ability to make those calls for yourself. And I talk about it in protection magic, but even at that point where you make that decision, that's one that you can make over and over again, because we change jobs, we have friend groups that change, our family situation is malleable. Those are changes that you can make, and those are choices you can make multiple times. So just because my officers who worked under me in Wilmington found out from my officer who went downstairs giggling, I'm sure, to tell everyone, hey, he's a witch, did you know? Those same people aren't going to be in your life forever.
Yeah. You know, I think that's really, it's important to have these conversations in pagan spaces, in spiritual spaces, because we have had so many years of decades, really, I guess, of really as a whole presenting ourselves as no, we're not what you think, you know, we're peaceful and we're loving and we are, and we've sort of digested that label to the point where other people harming us is okay in our minds. And we have shit boundaries for the most part. And, you know, I mean, but we don't, we're so quick to say, okay, what's this person going through? What's, you know, what's the greater lesson here? You know, and sometimes it's like the lesson right now is that you need to get this person away from you. You need to get yourself to safety because not everybody exists in that world. Just like you said, not everybody views the world that way. Not everybody's capable. And gosh, it's, I've seen so many people in, you know, in my sphere of influence that, you know, are robbed and they're just like, well, they needed it more than I did. And it's kind of like, but did they?
Did they really?
So, you know, it's hard. It's hard to hold compassion and, you know, stomp a motherfucker when they need it. I don't know how else to say it.
In the face. Well, that's the thing. People are quick to write off their own needs, but are first in line to step up for someone else. And so I explained to them, okay, you had $10 in your wallet. You're saying they needed $10 and I didn't. They did not only take your $10. That is not the only thing that you lost. Your ability to trust in another human, the ability to leave your house without feeling afraid. Like, those are real things, even if they're not tangible things. And those are the things that people say, oh, well, you know, no, sweetheart, you deserve safety. You deserve to be safe. You deserve to have the feeling of safety and security. Bad things happen all over. You deserve to feel safe. You deserve to be able to go to the grocery store and get dinner for your family without someone attempting to rob you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, it gets a lot easier to shift your perspective if you have kids. Yeah. I have noticed for myself, because I will cut somebody for my children so fast. I won't even think about the spiritual implications whatsoever. None, 0%.
No,
but anyway, that's a different topic. It's the same topic, but it's different.
in the talk that I did at Pagan Pride over the weekend, I had the fabulous MC who introduced me to my awaiting public. I handed him a roll of duct tape and said, hey, do me a favor and duct tape my hands together just as tight. Make sure I can't escape.
Hold on. I'm just picturing. Give me a minute. Carry on. Go ahead.
He thought he was being slick. He's putting it between my hands and he's making it super tight. Like I have bruises. 2 days later, I still have bruises. And so I did the first quarter of my talk with my hands duct taped together and saying, look, we talked so much about what we need and how to help each other and how to be there for each other. And the first thing that we do is we negate our own needs. You deserve safety, but we have to decide that you're willing to take that next step. We don't just, you can say you deserve it all day long, but if you don't actually believe it, you're not going to work to save your own self.
And if you're not prepared for that moment when it comes.
Yes. So the number of, in working in executive protection, I've had occasions to work with law enforcement. The number of people who have been found with their hands duct taped together, no longer on this plane, has been a lot. It is a scary number because people have this idea that duct tape is some impenetrable force. Because they pull in their hands and they can't do anything with it. They feel like they're stuck. We tell
you. That's such a metaphor for so many things. Hold on. Let me just let that hit my brain. Okay. Carry on.
This is how I do.
Yeah.
But once we make the decision that we are worth saving, that we are worth being okay. And you're able to remove those. And I bust out of the duct tape and everyone's excited and they're plotting and they're, because it's not, it's just a thing. I can teach you how to break out of duct tape. I can teach you how to pick handcuffs with a bobby pin. I can teach you how to do all of these things. I can teach you how to, you know, I do, in fact, teach people how to, you know, escape kidnapping scenarios. Like, someone wants to steal you. Guess what? We're not going to let them. But you have to be the one to fight. You cannot stop fighting until you are free and everything's great and you can have your breakdown later, but you have to make the decision that you're worth saving because before you do that, you're just going to lay there and whatever happens, happens. And not a single person on this plane gets to tell you that it's your fault. Fuck those people. Someone tells you,
my God, right?
Note, I will have a talk with them.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody else violating your boundaries is not your fucking fault.
Exactly.
So just write that down forever. Oh, that's another conversation we could have all day long. You know, I think some of the swing that we've seen, and I've noticed it, you've been around quite a while. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't mean quite a while in the way that it sounded, but you've been in the community a long time, like myself. And so I know you've seen this too. There's been a shift in the last 5-6 years in particular, but I'd say the last 10 years, to more people being willing to hex and curse and do things like that. Now, a lot of it is fucking petty as hell, right, and a lot of introspection needs to happen. But I do think that we're having sort of a pendulum swing from all the years of let's make ourselves as pacifist as possible so that we can be accepted by greater society. You know what I mean? And to that end, I think when I say generation, I mean witchcraft generation that came up right after that had, you know, they were susceptible. They were more vulnerable to people breaching their boundaries and not having the spiritual or physical resources to do anything about it. You know what I mean? Because they were taught that this is wrong for so long.
Yeah, I'm the first one to say, how about instead of cursing them, you just have better boundaries? I will advocate for better boundaries sometimes before I advocate for cursing, because it takes time and energy and effort and money and supplies, and there's effort involved. And I talk about that in botanical and in protection magic, because there's a difference between a jinx, a curse, and a hex. They each have different mechanics. They each have different supply needs. They each have their own methods to their madness, but they are valid magical practices, because magic is agency, and telling people that hexing is wrong completely flies in the face of the history of the magic of witchcraft being the resort of the downtrodden and people who have been disenfranchised by their group, by their town, by their government, by so many, by the entire system that we live in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Currently, the current system that we're in. Still.
It's on fire.
It's on fire.
Telling people that you cursing is wrong is completely...
You're taking away their agency. Yes, it's the same fucking thing. Mm-hmm. No, it isn't. Now, I do think that there's a point where you're the asshole. And you have to be able to recognize, am I doing this because I have no other recourse, you know, or this is my recourse, or am I doing this because I want to hurt somebody because I'm feeling some kind of way.
Right. When you look at the mechanics of the practice itself, curses, are you yelling to the gods that something awful has happened that you had no control over and you want them to handle it? Mm-hmm. That is a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's plain and simple. You can dress it up with candles and oils and ritual action, but you're asking for help. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're explaining that someone has done you wrong, and this is, you know, you need help fixing that. That is such a vulnerable and beautiful place to put yourself in the hands of the gods and say, hey, I do need help. I do need something externally. You know, hexing is a different mechanic altogether. It's saying this thing, I'm going to remedy it myself. Like, I'm not waiting around for you guys to get off your high whatevers. I'm going to handle this. I'm just letting you know that I'm handling my business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they all get lumped in together. People just assume that it's all the same thing, and everything's cool. But when you look at it, things like jinxes, I have in botanical magic, there's a hex shattering oil. That is, if you have not made it yet, it's the main ingredient is oak moss.
Adds to list, hold please.
Shattering oil. Oh my God, I love it so much. Oak moss is the flat, frilly moss that grows on trees, at least in the eastern Great Deciduous Forest. It grows on everything. But you can find it on trees, not just oak trees. But it is, it's a lichen. They take this beautiful material, they put it through an alchemical process with alcohol, and extract this beautiful, beautiful extract out of it that smells like leather and violets. The perfume that I made out of this goes in a 10 milliliter roll-on bottle, You can carry it with you everywhere, and it's strong enough for a daily curse, or you're breaking a serious hex. Like, they're really well formulated, but you can wear it as a perfume that says, not only do I smell fabulous, I am impervious to your crap. I'll be over here. Thank you very much.
It's like a fragrance oil.
Yeah.
That has moss in it, and I love it. And now I've got to find yours. I'm sure that's on your shop. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can find it. Blackthornbotanicals.com. Absolutely, help yourself.
So I'm gonna add that to my list of things to purchase from your shop.
Yes.
And we'll have all the links to her website and shop and books that are coming out in the show notes as well. But before we get too far, because we could stay on protection magic
forever.
all day long. But I do highly recommend everyone get protection magic, because it is practical. It is different from a lot of what you see. It is different from every single protection magic book I've ever read. So get it, get your hands on it, read it, especially feminine presenting folks.
Yes.
I think it's very important. Put it in your stocking, buy it for your daughters, everyone, get it. Okay. But let's talk a little bit. Okay. Hold on. I have to readjust myself. Your new book, and it's coming out in November. So by the time this episode comes out, it's like Christmas, and here I've got like gardenias and stuff. It's fine. But, Blackthorn's Botanical Wellness, just first 30 pages of this already, I'm like, I feel seen. I feel a little bit fussed at, but I probably needed that. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the effects of stress and burnout. I really want to talk about that, and boundaries. Let's talk about all of these things that, God, we're shit at taking care of ourselves, aren't we?
Oh my God, yes. Because especially as feminine presenting people, we're expected to take care of everyone else to our own detriment every time.
Yes, we are. Carry on. Tell me more.
And it's especially in the aftermath or the during a math. We need a during math word.
Math. While we're mathing.
There is so much stuff that needs to be handled, and we have no time for ourselves. We have no time. People started talking, especially in like April of 2020. People are getting to the swing of having been in lockdown forever. And the longer we're there, the more stress we're under, and we have no outlet. People started talking about self-care. But the problem was, they're telling, like, you're a mom. They're trying to couch, like, the ability to shower yourself as self-care. No, my love, the daily care tasks, you don't have to earn that. You don't have to earn your food or your nap or your shower or your morning coffee. Like, daily care tasks are not self-care. They're things that we have to do to be able to live and move and breathe and be a person.
That's the bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
I know, and 99.9% of the time, you don't get the bare minimum.
Nope.
You know? And if you get anything, that's all it is the bare minimum.
And you're supposed to be patted on the back or, you know, giving an Emmy speech for being allowed 5 minutes to take a shower your body.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
To keep yourself clean and fed, congratulations. You're ahead of the game.
Here's the
question. This game is terribly rigged. Right? The leftover bits of food on your kid's plate after you fed them? Yeah, no, Yeah. It's tough. And something too that you mentioned, the pandemic, of course. The first little bit of it, I was great. I had so much energy. I was like, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and I'm going to make this available and we're going to just move online and everything will be fine. And I was okay. until about the end of 2020. And then I was just like, I cannot hold it together anymore. I was raw. Like, it felt like all of my nerve endings were just
exposed to the air.
Exposed at one time. Yeah. And it's been like that for 2 years now. But compassion fatigue, like mm-hmm. holding, especially if you are in the business of teaching or doing clergy work, if you are, you know, a priest or priestess, if you're holding together community, if you're helping community, if you're a parent, if you exist in community, if you have a job, anything, if you're helping other people, it's exhausting when you're not taking care of yourself. And I am the worst. So I'm here to learn, Amy. Like, yes. I am. Don't follow my example. Anybody out there, do what I say. Don't follow me.
Make good choices.
But the compassion fatigue.
Yes.
Is so difficult, because especially when we had so many people dying all at one time and so many people losing people, there comes a point where you just hit a wall and you feel like a total asshole. Mm-hmm. But you're like, if I have to comfort one more fucking person today, I'm going to jump off a bridge. Like, it's not, there's only so much you can hold for others when you're not holding for yourself. And it sounds like a meme, but it's deeply, deeply true. And I don't know what to do about it. So you tell us, because you wrote a book about it.
I did write a book about it. And it was such a, it's such a mood that
yeah.
we want to learn and we want to know and we want to have that be better for somebody else, because I'm just going to keep making these same mistakes. No, love, we're here. Fix it. It's better. One of the things that came about because of this is I adapted. I don't feel like I invented a magical technology, but I did adapt it. The idea of serviteurs, the idea of created beings, magical thought forms that we've created, embodying them in our ritual tools to help us with these things that we just cannot do right now. You don't have another inch of anything left for anybody else. We've now created a being to help us with those tasks. So embodying a magical being in your athame that you've created to help you send your will out into the universe and find a doctor who doesn't treat you like shit. Find somebody who listens to you. A wand that's empowered to help you find the practitioners that you need in your space. I need a therapist and I need this and I need, oh, an allergist is retiring. What am I? Those tasks that we just don't have anything left for still have to get done. You still have to find it from somewhere.
Yeah.
That's good. That's being my favorite part of the whole process, is not just teaching people how to create sigils, how to do this, but to how to put all of that magical technology together in something that represents actually caring for ourselves. It's mind-boggling, because we've spent so much time saying, I'm not important as everyone else is. And we need to stop. We've got to stop doing that to ourselves. Because we wouldn't let anyone do that to our best friend, right?
No, we wouldn't let anyone do that to themselves. Like, if we heard it, if we were in the room.
Yes.
You know, and we don't hold expectations of other people to just handle everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe some folks do, because they be dropping balls. Anyway. but we hold that expectation for ourselves. Like, I am not allowed to. I can't hit the wall. You know?
Yep.
I can't. If I hit the wall, I'm just going to have to stick to it for a minute, because I've got to stay on my feet until, you know, in 2 weeks, I'll be able to breathe again. In 2 weeks, after this thing happens, or we'll just hold it together to get through this ritual and then I can rest. But the rest never comes.
Yeah. We joke back and forth about, you know, being an adult is saying, oh, things will get better after next week for the rest of our lives. And that's not.
Yeah.
It's just not.
No. No. So, okay. And a lot of the things that I see from teaching, from serving in community, when people are the most in need of the powers, and the skills that they've been working to develop, that's the moment they turn away from it. Yep. They drop it. And that's, it's a double-edged sword, because I know that's what you need. You need to lean into your practice. You need to lean into your spirits. You need to lean into that. But fuck, you know, you're yes. trying to lean into putting on your pants. You know, you're trying to lean into getting the hell out of bed today.
Because
where is that?
Scrolling TikTok seems so much more doable than getting out of bed and putting clothes
on. Super doable. Right. Or walking to your altar and just lighting that candle. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have the impact of feeding you back and helping refill your energy when you do it. But how do you drag yourself in there and light that candle? Like, there's got to be some step in the middle that is missing.
There is. You know? And I can tell you what it is.
Tell me what it is.
We don't think that we deserve help, that we shouldn't need help, but we do. We are people. We're all just people. And we do need help. We do need support. And just like I talked about with the protection magic, you have to know that you deserve that help. I have a really debilitating chronic condition called the chronic hives.
Oh, yes.
Without medications, I bloom into hives that are the size of my, like, it looks like I have burns the size of my palm all over.
That affects your whole system. Like, that affects everything.
And a friend of mine, who my high priestess, said, hey, I was drawn to create this tool for you, and I'm sending it to you. Here it is. And I couldn't open the box for like 3 weeks. I could not open the box.
Did you feel ashamed that somebody was offering you help?
That, because I could not ask for the help. She knew that I couldn't ask for the help. So she's like, hey, I'm sending you the help. You'd just be a person. But I had to be able to say the words, I deserve help, to be able to open the box. It was like a secret password that nobody knew. No one told me. Oh, yeah, I have to know that I deserve to be okay. I deserve to be healthy or whole. And so we do that in so many different ways. There's one of my favorite chapters is there's an entire list of meditations to work through, to work through the tarot. You can start full and end with the world, or you can draw your card and see what you need to do today, you know, all the way down to, you know, wands, cups, pentacles, and swords. Each one of those meditations has something to teach us, has something that helps us figure out what the next step is and how to do magic with a single card. I have had the world chasing me all day. I'm actually going to cheat and pick up a deck that's sitting on my desk right now. This is Boudicca's Tarot of Earthly Delights. It has a Kickstarter that's coming soon.
Ooh, exciting.
So, this is the magician card. It's Marie Laveau in a magician's laboratory.
Oh, I love it.
And so you can draw a card and say, okay, this is what we need to do today. That we need to really understand our connections, that we have all the tools that we need to get everything done. We just have to give ourselves the ability and permission to do them. And so
accept it. Like, be open to receiving it.
There's a whole chapter on individual tarot associations and meditations you can do work magic with to understand not just your self-care, but your wellness and your wholeness. When we talked, there's a million really fabulous witchy self-care books that have been on the market in the last 5 years. They're lovely. Everyone wants to say, oh, well, so-and-so wrote a book, you should talk bad about them. It's like, no, that everybody has something to say. If you, me, and Santa Claus all sat down at the same table with a pile of protection magic books as reference, we'd write three completely separate books, even with the same exact material sitting at the same table at the same time. We'd write three completely different books.
Because we're all going to have a different experience of it. Exactly. And we're all going to have a different perspective to bring. I like that because, yeah, people do get scrappy. I don't know why. There's room for all of us.
So zero of the self-care books that I was looking at when I was doing research for this talk about chronic illness or chronic pain. 40% of people have at least one chronic illness. And we're all pretending like if I think nice thoughts on my quartz crystal, it's going to glow and I will magically not be sick anymore. And
we're just going to spiritually bypass it. It's fine. That's why we have the spiritual bypass lane.
That's why we have the spiritual bypass lecture in the book, because it's not a thing. Stop doing that.
Yes. Please. Can we stop doing that, folks? Please.
So being able to break it down by subject, here's some stones, here's some herbs. There's a section in there that talks about making yourself magical teas for helping to understand and create those wellness patterns it's not just one thing that's going to make it all better. It's the habit of allowing yourself to, self-care isn't me first, it's me too. Like, I also need care.
And it's going to change. What that looks like today is not going to be what it looks like tomorrow. And there's a lot of people I know when they get into that place of, they're just sort of frozen because they're overwhelmed.
Yes.
And they don't know what to do. And so they're doing nothing. They have a they have a memory of what their practice used to be, and they want that. And it's like, that's not going to be your practice today. That's why you can't do that again. That's why that's not coming to you, because that's not what it needs to be today. So there's something different.
So I got run over by a tractor trailer. Ba-dum-ba-dum. That was, I was done.
That's a good opening here.
And so in my head, I'm still 21 years old. The day before I got run over by a tractor trailer, and I still think that I should be able to run or jump or stand long enough to cook dinner. That's not my reality anymore. And I have to be the person to let that go, even if it's incrementally, because holding yourself to that standard of that person who does not exist, the person who is not chronically ill, the person who does not have chronic pain, the person who could supinate her own hands, like, that person doesn't exist. And by holding on to her and really punishing myself for having been sick or injured or any of those other things, I'm punishing myself for something that I had no control over.
No.
At some point, you have to stop punishing yourself for not being able to live up to this standard today. You cannot do 100% of whatever it is every day. You will burn out faster than a candles match.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to be okay with doing what your best is today. And that's going to change every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. My goodness. Holding yourself to the energy levels and, you know, even if you haven't experienced a debilitating, like life-changing injury, holding yourself to those sorts of standards is, gosh, it's really abusive to, to, you know, and I feel you on that. My mother has, we're not sure, because she goes back and forth believing what she has. And then a doctor will tell her, no, that doesn't really exist. And she's like, oh, well, they said it's not real. So therefore now I'm erasing my own experience. So she has fibromyalgia really horribly. Like, she hits every trigger, like, my whole life. And, her new doctor has told her that they don't believe that's really a thing. And so they're going to try some other stuff. And so she's sort of internalizing that and dismissing her own experiences in a lot of ways. Whatever you want to call what she's experiencing, okay, but this is happening. It's real. And I've had symptoms and things like that, which I'm currently ignoring. That's the stage I'm in right now.
Denial is still real.
Thank you. And I don't have the energy levels that I used to, you know, and just doing ritual and walking the circle, you know, I'm one of those that has to move constantly. I think I've got some ADD going on for real. But I just pace the circle, and by the end of the night, my knees are shot. Like, the next day I can't move. And but there's no part of my brain that says, why don't you sit the fuck down sometime? They can still hear you. Or maybe you should put on some shoes, because you know it hurts your joints more when you don't wear shoes. And I don't know. I'm not there yet. I'm still in the just do it and then suffer stage.
This is a personal question, so feel free to tell me to get fucked if you don't want to answer it.
I would never tell you that. Maybe. Let's hear the question first.
Do you, or have you had experience with aspecting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. When I'm aspecting, especially the Morrigan, I rock, like, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And my knees are exhausted. So, like, you come back into your body someone else has been using, and you're like, you could at least, like, pick up after yourself when you leave, turn the lights off.
Could you heal those knees before you move out? Yes, actually, that is a problem. So you've got a solution. I can see it.
Because we don't recognize that our bodies are still busy even when we're not home. And that it links up very well with the ADHD, because, you know, if I'm disassociating, my body is still doing things.
Yeah.
So we aren't giving ourselves credit for the things that our bodies are doing, even if we're present, when we not mm-hmm. aren't really all there all the time.
True. It's so true.
Recognizing, and people say, oh, journaling. I have ADHD. I have a pile of journals that will never, ever be written in. And it's just something I've accepted about myself.
Oh, goodness. I do have a lot of empty journals, or I have lots of, like, I start the journal and then there's a new journal that appears and I start that journal. I'm that journaler.
That's
Don't tell
right.
my students. I journal every day, just like you should.
Being able to recognize that we're still doing things, even if we don't think it counts.
That's the thing. Giving ourselves credit for the things that we do. Like, I'm a planner, so I will, when I don't do the things that are inevitably on the list, I will add the shit that I've been doing that day to the list so I can check it off.
That's right.
Because I need a record, or I look at it and I'm like, I haven't done anything I plan to do today. What have I been doing all day? I homeschool 2 kids and I have a job and after school activities and I keep this house clean and I do all the laundry and all the cooking. Like, oh, and I have spirits and students and everything else that I have to tend to. So yeah, I'm doing stuff, but I never give myself credit for it.
And
I
you're always also, feel like you're still not giving yourself more. Credit for the mental load that goes into keeping the running list of everything that's in the pantry that needs to be replaced.
The household inventory.
How much milk is there in the fridge? That is exhausting.
It's so exhausting. And I try to explain this to my partner, who I have to know where everything in the house is. What level of, you know, how much do we need? When do we need it? How much does it cost? How much is in the bank account?
That is a full-time job, just worrying about that crap.
It is. I need a keeper. If anyone would like to work for free. oh my gosh. It is. It is. I don't think we were made to live like this.
We were not.
You know? So we need that fuel. You know, we need that support, the spiritual support. And when we start adventures too, like all of the things we want to do and all of the new projects and new ideas that we have, we need the spiritual support for those things to help feed it and energize us when we're working at it. Because otherwise, my goodness,
absolutely.
You know, those 5 hours of sleep are not going to carry you through all of those things every day.
You are not wrong.
I'm the worst. Like my partner and I only have like 2 hours together a day. And it's after the kids are in bed and we just like sit together and watch a show and talk. And then it's 1:30 in the morning and it's like, well, let's jump to sleep real fast because we got to get up and do it all again tomorrow. And it's kind of, it's exhausting. And yeah. I know we're not the only people dealing with that. Everybody's dealing with that. Anyway. The end. What do we do? Right. So you talk a lot in your, there's several topics I want to talk about, but we have been going for a bit.
I'm
let's
here
see.
Forever. I'm just enjoying your company.
Stop. Keep going. so rest. Let's talk about that, shall we?
Let's.
And when you say rest, you're probably talking about not doing, working on something that you can work on while sitting or laying in the bed and then working on something.
Nope.
Or taking a bath and then doing research for a class in the bathtub. You're probably talking about something else. So you tell me what you mean when you say rest.
I absolutely mean if you're going to take a bath, leave your phone in the bedroom. Unless you're like pulling up Netflix and you're going to watch a show in the tub. I have those double industrial poly Ziploc baggies that I put my phone in when I take it in the tub. That way, if I drop it, it's not worthless.
No big deal.
yeah, because we try and tell ourselves, it's okay for me to take a bath because I can do this while I'm doing it. I can watch a show because I'm folding socks while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Only one thing, which is just about impossible for me because the ADHD is... right
yeah.
there. I can't have stimulants because of my heart, so medication is not a thing.
Yeah, I I tend to live in the bathtub any opportunity that I can, because now we moved, so my previous bathtub I couldn't fit in that, so I was like deprived of baths for a long time. But now I have a big bathtub. But I always inevitably will bring, it's like, okay, I can clean up this ritual while I'm in the bathtub because it's quiet and the kids aren't in there for like a minute. But I find myself often working in the bath, and that seems not, it's not helpful. I don't come out rested.
No, that is definitely counterproductive. That whole cow gun take me away
can't do that no more.
Is real.
I know. I have to do things with my hands, or my brain goes into crazy. My brain just spirals. So I spin or I knit a lot. If I'm sitting and resting, that's one thing that's repetitive that allows my brain to sort of relax.
You're lucky it's not sitting right here. So I found the funnest thing ever.
Why would I be lucky that the funnest thing ever is not right there?
So it is, there's a, my dear friend, Natalie Meraki, Meraki.
Okay.
Came out with a snarky tarot. It's just the funniest thing ever.
Yay.
So, wands are dick sticks, and like, it's fantastic. She's a genius. She had this tarot deck printed on recycled plastic.
Mm.
So you can play with your cards in the bathtub. Yes. You can do
it. That's genius. What is her last name? Spell that for me one more again.
Meraki. So that's the mood tarot. Her website is the same name, NatalieMeraki.com.
Okay.
She came out with the mood oracle. They're giant cards. They're also printed on plastics. If you're more of an oracle person, they're ridiculous. This says, get naked and scream.
Oh, that's exactly my kind of... Yeah, I need that too. I'm going to write down.
She's traumatized the moon, and there's an alien in the background saying, ah! These are the oracle cards that we need.
Yes.
Career change. Fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm out.
Yes. Yes. I'm here for it.
And they're printed on plastic, so they'll last forever. I can sanitize my cards in between reading clients if I'm doing an in-person event, because Lysol is a thing. And everything's great, so I can read in the tub. I can actually take some time for me and be doing something with my hands. I also have a poly bead, like the plastic pony bead things you give kids.
Oh yeah,
I made prayer beads out of them that are okay in the bathtub. I'm not taking my good stones in the bathtub.
That's smart.
I can do mantras. I can do some prayer work. I can do some me things in the bathtub that are not work. They're restorative. They're regenerative. It's not extractive.
Yes. I think that's the key. Like, is this fueling me or is this draining my energy? And when something you love has become your career, that's a fine line to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just kind of have to feel it. Like, wait a minute, is this stressing me, or is this like exciting me in this moment?
Yeah.
And I am not good at, I just really am not. I've just become really shit at self-care. So I can't wait till this book comes out. I'm going to buy a case of them and just like.
Hand them out to people.
Hand them out to everybody. You know, I think we also don't recognize how much help is available to us. Outside of, you know, our spirits and allies, people do want to help. I mean, okay, I will say that sometimes people say they want to help just to be seen saying they want to help, and then where the hell are they? They don't show up.
Right.
That happens a fair bit, but you learn who those people are pretty quick. But there are those who want to help, and they don't know how, you know? And they're waiting for you to ask and say, hey, I need help. This is what I need, you know?
Yeah.
And that's important to be able to do. And I'm pretty shit at that. I'm getting better at asking for help, but I am not your role model in that department. So everyone who listens to my show, buy Amy's book. Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I can't wait. Cause you've got all the, I read the intro part and I was like, we were just getting into like the solutions. And I was like, no,
come back.
more pages. Oh my goodness. Have you found the amount of just burnout? Like, do you get sort of a, like an alert, like, hey, you're getting close, you're going to be burning out in this many days? Or is it just kind of like, suddenly you're like, oh fuck, I'm done.
Damn, you're done.
Yeah.
It's very funny. So October 2019,
mm-hmm.
My grocery store starts their Thanksgiving displays, and they're filling up the aisles with cream of mushroom soup and boxes of stovetop, and they're putting things on sale. And I'm getting this like nudge on my shoulder, like, you should put more stuff away in the pantry. You should be stocking the pantry. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. And Thanksgiving comes and goes, and so everything that was there for Thanksgiving is now on sale. All the, you know, cans are $1 a can or what have you. And now I'm getting like a more forceful, hey, like, stock up the pantry, put more shit away, like, put stuff in reserve. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's funny. I've never gotten that message before. That's kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
And then February comes and this grocery store shelves are empty, but my pantry is full because I've been doing this since October with no idea why. And mm-hmm. like, then the light bulb comes on like 3 weeks later going, oh shit, maybe that's why.
Well, I have all this food now, so I'm good.
And so wow. I get the message, but I don't always understand the message. And I think that's a good understanding of where we are right now, because even if you're getting the message, even if you look at your voicemail, you know, if it's gobbledygook, if the message is broken, someone's in a bad signal area, you're not going to get the mm-hmm. whole message. So it's really important to give yourself permission to do the thing that you think is important, even if you can't explain why.
You know, and I think we have, I'll speak for myself and others, mostly myself. I think we develop, when we get into the habit of ignoring our own needs, we develop a habit of ignoring those signals.
Yes.
Because some of those come from ourselves. Our body has intelligence. Our body is a spirit too. It's part of our soul complex.
Mm-hmm.
It knows. It has wisdom. And when we consistently ignore its needs, we're not going to get those messages as clearly. We're not going to get messages from our spirits as clearly. We're not going to recognize those when we ignore our needs.
I have an example.
That was a message of wisdom for myself.
So I was teaching a class. I was a part of a class that was talking about, it was for advanced practitioners, advanced intuitives, and it was helping to decode your body's messages for intuitive aims. And so what does that even look like? So we are at this section, we're talking about travel. So we're pairing up. This is 2021. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of travel going on here. So it's a perfect time to say, hey, is your partner going to be doing any traveling in the next 6 months? Mm-hmm. So I've noticed we're going through, everybody sort of fills out where they think this is going to go. And then the interaction takes place. And so every time I felt this, it was almost like a pulling down on my belt at the small of my back. Somebody grabbed my belt and just sort of nudged down. I'm like, okay, is this south? Are they going somewhere south of me? So I write down south, ? And as they're going through this, I'm finding more and more often that tugging wasn't just that it was south. That was that person was traveling over water. They were going on a cruise. I'm in Delaware, so all the cruises are happening south of me, but it was over water. So that interpreting that understanding of that symptom and that sign, it gets to be my turn. And my partner says, oh yeah, I don't really think I have anything planned, but let's find out. Let's see what you think. And mm-hmm. so I felt like somebody like pinpricked, like a thumbtack in my index finger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say to her, you're going right here. She's from Michigan. So the whole state is the mitten.
Uh-huh.
So
is that where she...
That's where she was going. Her dad has a cabin. I said, they're showing me that Jeep with the mountain four-wheeling logo and their brown sign. So it means a state park. So somewhere near a state park right here. And she goes, I'm in Michigan. There's a state park right here. My dad has a cabin out by that state park. That makes complete sense. I got the message, but there's no way for me to interpret what the hell this means without right. her context.
Yes.
So it's just getting the context and allowing yourselves to appreciate the context instead of just saying, well, I don't know what the hell this means, so I'm not going to say anything.
That right there. Like, if you can't figure it all out by yourself, you're just going to keep it. Or it's not valid.
Right.
You know, it's not a real message. Mm. You know, that's one of those things, too, that you can do while you're trying to figure out if you're going to get up and put on pants. You can just take a moment and listen to your body, even if it's screaming at you, just tuning in and listening and stay right there in the bed, you know? That's and that's it. Something that you can do just to bring awareness and check in and receive what your body needs from you today. You know, maybe you don't need to wear pants. Maybe you need to stay right where you're at, you know? The hell with pants?
Overrated. Gosh.
They are overrated, just generally speaking. We talk about pants or no pants here a lot on Crossroads and Cauldrons. Yes. We generally vote for no pants. So whatever, however you want to take that.
Put me down for no pants.
Excellent. See, this is the great thing about recording in my office, because they don't know what's going on. Nothing. That's a different show. That's for later. That's my OnlyFans. I waited till you drank.
You're welcome. I saw you.
I guess I've kept you for a long time, so I'm going to just jump ahead to your shop. What's going on in your shop? You've mentioned a few little things, but do you have anything exciting going on?
Well, that's the thing. I started it by accident when I left security. My last job was just eating my soul. I'd been head of security for the place for 2 years. Because Amy Blackthorne had to be locked in her own little box, I didn't have time to teach classes. I didn't have time to be a witch. I didn't have time to do anything, because I'm getting phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning to put out literal fires, not just figurative ones. My first day at this site, we had a bomb threat, a death threat, and a suspicious package. Like, this is for real, real.
That's an emotional toll.
Yes. So I didn't have anything left to be Amy Blackthorne. So I wanted, when I realized how much this job was taking me, I trained my replacement, and my very first day as a joyfully unemployed person, I went downstairs into the kitchen. I dragged out the big cauldron, you know, I mean business.
Oh, yeah.
And some candles and some oils and some the athame, and I've got all the stuff, and I'm chanting and I'm carving and I'm doing all this stuff, and I go to light the wick and the doorbell rings, and I think, that's the fastest magic I've ever done. I sign for the postal lady's package, and I come back in the kitchen, and the smell of lemongrass just whooshes over my face, and I think, you know, if I had a tea that had the same ingredients in it as my ritual oils that I used on the candle, like, I could do my magic while I'm sipping my tea doing magic. And so, with no preamble at all, the light bulb goes on, and I have 15 blends of teas of magical oils. So it's now branched out into, I have a tarot line, I have gods and spirits lines, I have traditional formulas like money draw and fiery wall of protection chai. Like, I have these magical teas to actually help improve your life, but also to do a little ritual while you have your ritual. You know, turns your morning ritual into something magical. So
I love it. So I love it.
I've got some ritual oils that are a little harder to find materials for, like the hex shattering oil has oak moss in it. Not everybody has access to oak moss. I will tell you a secret. I get a 2 ounce bottle of oak moss absolute. So it's an essential oils absolute form for like 30 bucks.
Does that last forever?
Forever. I put it in candles. I put it in ritual oils. I put it in everything because it smells amazing and it's hex breaking. So it's great stuff for, if you live in a place like Florida where you can get a lot of oak moss, it just falls off the trees because it's growing so much. You can stuff a little poppet with it and bless it with your name and your birth date and all that fabulous stuff. Make this poppet you and use that for hex breaking on a regular basis. Like, say once a month on the full or the new moon, whichever feels more appropriate, you can do some hex breaking work and make sure that you are, as safe and protected, but also honoring that wellness within yourself by making sure that everything's great. So
That's such a great way to embody your ritual work as well, you know, to activate your magic on all levels is by drinking that in, working with it, putting it on your skin, you know.
Yes.
I like to use all the layers of magic.
So there's autographed copies of all my books. The minute I get my author copies of Botanical Wellness, it'll go up on my website. It's the same regular price. They come with the magical inscription of Amy Blackthorne on it.
Yeah.
And it gives the opportunity for people to support me both as an author and an artist. Mm-hmm. And not give it, you know, Jeff Bezos doesn't need your dollars.
He doesn't need it.
Authors don't make any money.
So. That is a misconception out there in the world. I don't know why. I wouldn't do so many podcasts for free if they were.
Exactly. So it's really lovely. So you have the ability to have magical teas, magical oils. There's books on the magical practices that we're embodying here. So you can download the first 30 pages of any of my books for free on amyblackthorne.com. You can mm-hmm. you could purchase autographed copies of the ones you know you have to have today. And it's been really fun to be able to do the thing that makes me feel like a person. I loved executive protection. I like making sure that people are safe and they're able to go and do what they're supposed to be doing. The client I had the longest was a witch, and they just weren't, you know, they needed some extra help. And so I was really thrilled to make that my life's work, but being able to do this for more than one person at a time is really, really fulfilling and rewarding.
And to empower people to do that for themselves.
Yes.
That's a big thing. That's a huge thing.
Well, that's the thing. Even Nietzsche talks about, you know, be careful that in helping people, you don't help them so much that you take away their agency.
Exactly. And that is such an easy trap to yes. fall into. Because it's harder. It's harder to teach people to find their power mm-hmm. and how to use it than to just do it for them.
Right. As a security professional, it's my job to do it for them. As a mm-hmm. priestess, it's my job to empower them to do it themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So I have one last question for you.
So excited.
If you had, this is my favorite question to ask. If you had a future project, mm-hmm. it could already be in the works. It could be not in the works. It could just be like a maybe big project, big impact of your work. What would that look like? What would that be?
It would have to be a sequel to Blackthorne's Botanical Magic. Because
yes.
I tried to cram decades worth of magical materials into one book, and that's a lot of responsibility for one book. Like mm-hmm. I'm writing the first book, and the epiphany strikes, lightning bolt from the blue, and I realize that this book will exist after I am no longer here. Mm-hmm. This will live beyond me. So I tried to fit everything in there, and there's no way for a single book to contain everything. So I would love to be able to create Blackthorne's Botanical Magic 2, The Revenge. You know, and you
yes.
that you thought of in the year between finishing the rough draft and that book coming out, that occurred to you that there's no way to put it in there now.
Yes. I should have put this in the book. Yes. Book.
So
yes.
If there's something you think that should have been in there, that's what's going to go in there. And that is such a fulfilling aspect. It's like, I've written enough books now that I need a sequel. Like, that's amazing.
That I can't wait. Please do that. Please do that book. You can have like a whole Encyclopedia Britannica size. It's such a wealth of knowledge and a depth of relationship with. You can tell that it comes through in the reading that you're not just you know, looking these up and getting the facts. Like, you know them. You have a relationship in it, and it shows. It reads in the book.
That means so much to me because I really, there are days that I feel like I'm the only person who understands what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I can't say that's not true, but you're not the only one who appreciates all the work that you've put in, and you're speaking for plant allies that are underheard, I think. I'm not going to say they can't speak for themselves, because they absolutely do, but their voices are not listened to as much, certainly, especially with just the way that we are, just our human relationship to agriculture and food sources. Like, we could go into a whole different conversation, but our relationship with the green world is kind of fucked up right now.
I have to share this with you, because it just made my whole life just like this perfect little bow on top. I was discussing the nature of stuff and things with the amazing Mortellus. And they stopped and said, my 4-year-old just asked me why I made them. I said, because I thought the world needed more sunshine in it. They went on to ramble about why they made me when they were a grown up. I said, I love it. Kids are so weird sometimes. They said they made me because dead people, zombies, and white spookies, ghosts, need a mom too. So cute.
That is the sweetest.
So I'm like, okay, this is amazing. I absolutely love it. And they said, I asked why the gods made my friend Amy to see what they would say. Their response, mm-hmm. because plants can't talk and Amy's can. I speak
That's
for the trees.
So sweet. You do speak for the trees. My goodness. Let me buy that child a present. That's so sweet. No, but it's true. That's part of the job of a witch, I think. And of course, you know, define your own witchcraft, of course. But you are a bridge. You're a bridge between the spirit and the physical. That's the work that we do. So yeah, good job, Amy. Good job being that bridge.
Thank you.
Well, it's been so wonderful having you on the show. Gosh, we've been talking for an hour and a half. Yes. I could keep you on here forever, but you would escape because you're an escape artist.
Professional. I have business professional cards and everything.
That's right. You have to not want to escape. That's the trick. But I'm so happy to have chatted with you, and I hope that you'll come back again. And I cannot wait to read your book. By the time this episode comes out, it's out. It's out, friends. Go get it. Blackthorn's Botanical Wellness, A Green Witch's Guide to Self-Care. Go buy it, because I will have already had it and you will be jealous.
We will hear your squealy noises from the heavens.
That's true, though. All right. Excellent. Amy, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
And to all of you listeners, thank you for listening to the show, and blessed be. Thank you all so much for listening, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe through your favorite podcast provider. It helps us get our podcast in front of more listeners just like you. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can leave us a voicemail by clicking the link in the description of this episode, and you can always find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Crossroads and Cauldrons Podcast.